Broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com.
Hi, everybody. You tuned into the Heritage Radio Network. We broadcast from the back of Roberta's restaurant in Bushwick, Brooklyn. The show is Flash Talks Cash. We're about money. Making it, spending it, saving it, what to do with it when you get it. I'm your host, Joanne Flash Fleming, and my co-host, well, Andrew, he's not here yet. We're going to call him Andrew, he's not here yet, from now on. My producer and my engineer is the one and only Mikeless Carlos.
I'm here this time.
With a working mic, for the moment. He's like Andrew. Sometimes he's good, sometimes he's missing. And we broadcast live every Thursday from 4:30 to 5. All shows are archived on the website, or free podcast is available through iTunes. Call in during the show while we're streaming live. The number is 718-497-2128. That's 497-2128. Or you can email Carlos in the booth. His email address is info@heritageradionetwork.com. So today's show, we're going to follow up with Occupy Wall Street 6 months later. You know that Occupy Wall Street 6 months old. And we have a very esteemed guest with us today. That would be Pete Dutro. Hi, Pete.
Hello.
Pete was, early on, the main man in the finance group.
One of them.
Yeah. Well, you were the main man early on. You were it. You were the go-to guy for the finance group. He's still around. He's still around, and he's going to give us a little a story about what's happened, what's happening, what's going to happen. And we're going to talk about it, you know, mostly about the money part of it, but the other parts of it too. So, because people believe that it's dead, and Pete's here to tell us it's not dead. Before we get started, we had last week we had a caller. His name was Dan, and he said he would call this week. He'd call us back if he won. He bet the Giants at $300. He won. I am waiting to hear Dan call us, and then. You know, we'll see when Andrew comes in. We'll see what he has to say about last week's show and his gambling and all his betting about the Giants. It is great news about the Giants, right? Are you a football fan here?
I'm a Pats fan.
Oh, so yeah, he's from Boston. I forgot. So sorry. And then they had a beautiful ticker tape parade right past Zuccotti Park yesterday. And, you know, I
guess
you weren't
there. Curiously absent.
You weren't there. I forgot you're a Boston guy. All right. Well, we won't go there. We won't discuss it. So let's get to today's show. So today's show, we're talking about Occupy Wall Street. So, Pete, let's start with, you know, when you got there early on, I guess late September, early October. And what happened in your eyes, your role and what happened for the first few months?
Well, basically, when I got there, everybody was just kind of hanging out in a park. Yeah. And we were all discussing what was happening. We had really no idea of how long it would actually last and what it would be. And we certainly had no idea that it would get as big as it got.
Right.
I mean, I came down kind of early. The first time I came down was on day three.
Oh, so you were there early, sure.
Yeah, and I was just kind of like hanging around, seeing what was going on, talking to people. And, you know, I noticed things kind of starting to form kind of quickly.
Yeah.
And Victoria Sobel was kind of the person who first started our finance committee slash accounting.
Mm-hmm.
And she was kind of running around with a bag.
Right.
You know, with
a
few bucks in it that slowly grew and grew and grew, and to the point that we were like, oh, we need to open a bank account. And she was kind of like begging and pleading for help.
Right.
And I kind of finally was like, well, I'll help you. I did it very reluctantly. I did not really want to be involved with it because I knew that it was going to be a headache.
Oh, you did? But you're a finance guy, so that was a natural fit for you, right?
I had some skills that I thought could be put to use, and I'm also, you know, a visual artist. I've been a tattooer and a painter for a good chunk of my life. And I also was involved in a company that did web development stuff and kind of graphic design. And
so not a strong finance background. You got a mixed up background.
Well, I basically ran a lot of my businesses. So, yeah. I mean, I had...
So you had entrepreneurial skills.
I had a lot of entrepreneurial skills, mm-hmm. and I have a pretty good understanding of how finance and accounting worked. I mean, I'm pretty good with QuickBooks and and stuff like that. I know my way around them.
Yeah.
But and then after my software company kind of ended, I went back to school to get a degree in business and with a concentration in finance.
Yeah.
So I've been developing a lot of these skills, and a lot of the people that I saw around hadn't had a lot of experience doing that stuff. So I kind of, you know, reluctantly joined, and, you know, I wanted to join something a little more sexy, like direct action or arts and culture.
Well, they don't know what direct, a lot of people don't know what direction, direct action are the people that are really proactive, physically rebelling, being out on the streets, right? Those kind of people.
Yeah, the people who organize a lot of the protests and actions.
Right. Yeah, so being in the finance group was really like geeky, nerdy, and
not nobody too wanted, sexy.
And nobody wanted to really deal with you.
And kind of also the opposite of why we were there.
Right, the 99% hated the banking.
Yeah. But
well,
very quickly we realized, like, you know, we just couldn't operate out of a bag with Victoria running around.
Yes. And sleeping with the bag at night in the park, right?
Yeah.
Well, so then you guys got a little more formal.
Yep.
Opened an account, got a couple of people on the committee to help you, right?
Yeah.
And then what happened?
I think I was probably the third or fourth person who joined that committee.
Yeah.
And things, you know, started moving once we started realizing what, you know, kind of needed to happen.
Yes.
We didn't want to become a corporation.
Yes.
So we became an unincorporated association.
Right.
Which is kind of the structure that a lot of unions have used and other kind of social groups.
So there's no, well, there are usually presidents. There's usually officers in those kinds of companies, but not in this one.
No, not in this one.
So it's really a membership kind of an organization.
Pretty much, but also it's kind of hard to pin down who's a member of Occupy Wall Street because we keep no membership,
there's no dues, right? There's no records, right? Okay, so you guys formed this association so you can open up a bank account.
Yeah, and we got a fiscal sponsor.
Yes.
And became a project of the Alliance for Global Justice.
Now, fiscal sponsor, a lot of our listeners don't know what that is. A fiscal sponsor is someone who collects your money on your behalf and runs their finances through their organization as a conduit, right? Yes. So you guys don't assume any financial responsibility. They're taking on the financial responsibility.
Yes.
More or less.
Yes.
Yes. So then you got the fiscal sponsor, which was a good thing. And then what happened?
And then things kind of started to take off.
Yes.
Pretty much after we got the fiscal sponsor, there was the incident on University Place.
What does that mean?
With Kaylee, where she got with the pepper spraying with Tony Baloney.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And once that happened, things kind of really started gaining a lot of momentum.
Financially.
And people-wise.
Right. The movement really started to get attention.
Yeah, and then I would say the next big kind of event was the Brooklyn Bridge.
Yeah, all those arrests.
Yeah.
Yes. So how did that affect the finances? I think at that point the money started to roll in, right? Quickly.
Yeah, it came in pretty quick.
Yeah.
I mean, we had days where we were raising like $30,000 in a day.
Now, the fiscal sponsor, let's just tell the readers, they're the ones who set up that credit card ability where you guys could donate online, where anybody could donate online and you would get the money. Prior to that, you were just taking donations in the boxes in the park.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there was a lot of cash going on in the park and there was a lot of money flowing through the website.
Well, in the beginning, there wasn't that much cash flowing through.
Uh-huh.
Like, I mean, it grew from a few hundred dollars to a few thousand dollars, and at that point we really realized, like, you know, there needs to be a bank account.
Yeah.
But I mean, it really started kind of coming in faster when we opened up the online donations, and yes, you know, and some of the bigger kind of media events happened.
Yes.
And people became a lot more aware. I mean, I really think that a lot of people, the issues that we were in that park for resonated with a lot of people.
Sure.
So there was like a huge outpouring of support.
Right.
I mean, people were calling in from all over the world.
Yes.
And there, and some people were making fun of us for it, kind of rightly so, too. I mean, they were like ordering us pizzas into the park, you know. But there was also like, what was kind of amazing, too, is that like really, you know, there weren't that many people who donated bigger chunks of money. I mean, the average donation was $50.
Yeah. So, but you had a lot of people around the world giving you money.
We
so
had it did, thousands of people around the world.
So
giving
it
us
did
money.
It did amass to a good sum of money over a short period of time.
Yeah.
So so you know, I came along, as some of my listeners know, I came along early in October, and I worked with Pete. And I was behind the scenes counting the money and trying to... I was counting the money after it hit the bank accounts and trying to figure out what to do with it all and where to put in, how to record it and report it. So so then, you know, go ahead, continue. So the money was rolling in. The money was rolling in pretty good.
Can I ask a question?
Yes. Andrew's here. Yes, Andrew's in the house.
I am here.
Andrew's
I am
in
here.
The house.
This just sounds like a small business being started up is all it really sounds like. You know, when you start a mom and pop kind of like shop, people start paying you cash and you're like, all right, we're getting bigger.
Yeah, but
we're
it went bigger. It got big quick.
Oh, I understand. And sometimes this happens for something like that. And then you have to figure it out on your feet.
Yes.
And, you know, make moves and figure that out and find out the right people to talk to.
Well,
and stuff
it's
like
true.
That.
But this, again, you know, problem was it's a leaderless organization. So no one could take charge and no one could make decisions. Singularly, everything had to be done through the GA, wherein he's going to lie. He's going to tell us that that was could be a problem, was a bit of a problem.
What's the GA?
The General Assembly.
Okay.
And that's basically where we make all our decisions.
Right.
So it goes from being a democracy to like a representative republic at this
a
point.
A consensus.
No, it goes into pretty much direct democracy.
It stayed a direct democracy.
It did. The General Assembly, everybody gets to vote. Everybody gets to voice their opinion.
Like, but day-to-day decisions like we need to open a bank account.
Every day.
Handling transactions. Every transaction is voted on? No, there are committees.
There were... committees that we call working groups, but in the beginning too, we were authorized basically to give a budget of $100 a day to each working group.
Right.
Okay.
By the GA.
Yeah, by the GA. That was something that we all consensed upon, and anything over $100 had to go to the GA to be approved. And you know, especially in the beginning, people were really, really frugal about things.
Yes.
I mean, a lot of people did not want to use that money at all. They would try and find other means to
achieve their goals, finding donors or some donors.
Well,
you
remember the whole stand was about the money and the fraud and the bank,
well,
and so they were doing trying
but
to do opposite.
As in everything, you need money. You need money, no matter what it is. It's evil. You need it to survive. Everyone can't donate everything, can they?
No, I also don't really agree that money is evil. I think money is a tool.
Yes.
Much like a hammer, you can either build a house with it or you can beat somebody to death with it.
That's a good one.
And, you know,
but what about when you have more tools than everyone else and you can utilize them more and more and then you keep growing your tool shed, whereas I'm still stuck here with a hammer?
That is, I think, a very apt scenario of what happened. I mean, certain people ended up with, you know, you know, huge power tools and everybody else.
I got
you know,
a crane over here and you're digging with like a little hand shovel. Yeah. I gotcha.
Okay. Well, let's come back to this. Pete is going to continue the saga of Occupy Wall Street. We just did the birth. We're going, we had toddlerhood. Now we're going to go into childhood, adolescent, and go on. So we'll be back in a minute and we'll continue the talk. Okay. We'll be right back.
The following program has been brought to you by Cane Vineyard and Winery. Cane Vineyard and Winery supports Heritage Radio and the growing movement to change how Americans eat and how we think about our planet. For more information, visit www.cane5.com.
Drinking and
Okay, we're back. Flash Talks Cash. We're talking about Occupy Wall Street 6 months later with Pete Dutro. But in the meantime, I think that caller's got an email and he wants to read it online
There's
today.
There's a little something. This one is actually for Andrew.
From last week?
Yes. So, Tanya writes in, tell Andrew I love the betting explanation. I had no idea. Now I get it. Doesn't make me want to bet, but now I know it's not some strange male ritualistic thing. Andrew should offer a class to women who need to know these things. The class should be called Male Ritualistic Things Women Don't Really Care About, but it may help sometimes.
I think I could do like a 12-week class on something like that.
You may meet someone cute.
That's what the email says.
Oh, that's what it says?
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. I guess they're calling me out. Apparently my me being single is really an issue for some people. I'm okay with what I'm doing. I know, right? That one, I don't know if that hurt her, you know.
No, I think she was just being funny, Drew.
I gotcha.
And
thanks.
And she really enjoyed the show. I really enjoyed the show. I got a lot out of it, and I spoke to some people who also said they never knew what some of that stuff was, and they learned all
it's
about
very
it.
Very straightforward and
very
easy to understand.
Informative talk.
Anybody
by
needs
Andrew.
Gambling tips, call into the show.
Uh-huh.
I think we may have to switch it up to just a gambling show, and we'll talk about different players each week and matchups. Flash.
Okay, well that was the highlight for the week for Andrew.
And I lost $90 last week.
I thought you were betting the Giants.
Well, I didn't bet on the Giants at that point because there was no point. But I lost pools and prop
bets. You should have gone money line.
I should have gone. Should have gone money line. Oh, Flash.
Wait a second. I did learn. By the way, we don't want to talk about it anymore because you missed the beginning of the show. Poor Pete is a Patriots fan because he's from Boston.
Why is that poor Pete?
Because he's feeling blue.
Like 2 years ago, they won every
he's
major
feeling
sports
blue
championship,
this week.
I think.
This
was it
week.
2 years ago, 3 years or something? I think the Patriots, the Bruins,
and the Red
the Celtics,
Sox.
The Red Sox, they all won within like a four-year period. They won every major sport within like a four-year period.
True.
I'm not feeling
that
bad
happened
for
in
Pete
New
right
York.
Now.
That happened in New York City in 1973.
Yeah, that's great. That was
okay. Can we get back to Occupy Wall Street? So now Occupy, let's talk about. So we know that they got a lot of money, and we know that they started to act, you know, responsible and give out money to the groups.
Was this just a New York thing, or did you then disseminate down to other occupies?
No, we were getting in proposals from other occupations. There was a lot of discussion about how to, you know, use the money. Not everybody could agree, but we gave money to Oakland, Edmonton,
Atlanta.
Mm-hmm. Couple others.
Generally, what for bail money? Generally for bail and legal fees.
Generally for bail, legal fees, and also for some infrastructure stuff, so that they could kind of get their occupations going.
Are there any currently running?
Yeah, there still are. There's a whole bunch, and I mean, even here. Well, we're not a real occupation anymore in the sense that we are no longer like out camping, but there's still a lot of people around. People have kind of organized themselves and found different nooks around the city to kind of do stuff out of and to plan actions
It's not like we overcame the difference in wealth at this point, so I think everyone still has that in the back of their mind. And, you know, with the things that are going on now, a lot of talk about the presidential candidates and stuff like that with their money, the tax returns coming out recently. So I think it just shows the dichotomy of our society still. But I'm just wondering, is there going to be a rebirth in the spring, especially with the election coming up?
There are a lot of things planned for the spring. May 1st is going to be a big day. There's a lot of stuff going on. People are trying to plan a general strike.
Around the country
around
or the world?
In the world.
Oh, I think I saw something on a subway sign today about that. They just stop shopping, working, doing anything on that day.
Yep.
So that's May Day. That's a famous a day for
labor. And,
Russia, right? Wasn't it famous in Russia?
So is this going to be on the conscious stream on the Occupy Wall Street website again, or are you guys...
Yeah, and there's also some... You know, I mean, there's a lot of... There's a lot of debate right now about like what's happening, where are we going to go, what things are going to kind of come out of this. And like what I kind of really see happening is that there's going to be a lot of kind of a little bit more of a virtual occupation, because a lot of the occupations were very brutally and very kind of coordinated in a coordinated way taken out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, within a 2-week span, yes, a lot of the big occupations were removed very forcefully.
Mm-hmm. Including New York City.
Including New York City.
Yes.
And, you know, I think what you're going to see in the spring is a lot of litigation come forward, uh-huh, from a lot of this stuff.
Oh.
And I also think that you're going to see a lot of people organizing online and kind of coming up with creative actions.
You do like flash mob kind of stuff where you just show up.
Yeah, like
occupy for a day or two and then get the hell out of there. So there's no violence.
Yeah, kind of like what happened recently at Grand Central, uh-huh, over, you know, there with the whole SOPA thing. But
tell us what happened there. I don't know.
There was a flash mob that happened. And
when did that happen? Like a week ago?
No.
Oh.
It was like a few weeks ago. I don't know. I'm kind of in OWS time. It's like dog years, you know? It's like.
What happened at Grand Central? How many people did they estimate showed up?
There were a lot.
Did the police get involved?
The police did get involved and removed a few people somewhat forcefully.
How long were they in occupying Grand Central?
They were there for probably like 10, 15 minutes.
Oh, that's it. They didn't disrupt anything.
No, but it was all of a sudden there was a huge...
Okay.
Kind of mob of people
showing up.
Just to let everybody know that Occupy Wall Street is still in existence.
I think it's just...
Is that the
social
reason?
I don't know. If it's, did they tie themselves to Occupy Wall Street?
Yeah,
or,
it was all a bunch of OWSers. It was an OWS event. But, I mean, a lot of what people are doing is, you know, they're kind of trying to organize kind of infrastructure stuff so that, like, when the spring does hit the ground,
yes,
there are... people have been planning actions for a while.
Yes.
There have been, I don't want to disclose too much as to
right.
alert certain people, but, you know, there's been a lot of planning, a lot of kind of reevaluation of what kind of tactics.
So you don't expect you don't expect New York City to go back in a park and sleep out again.
I don't think the city would let that happen. Do you?
I would not be surprised if there's an attempt to do it. I don't know if the city will allow it.
Oh, I see.
I think they'll sweep in there well before it can grow to the level it did last year because of how badly they look.
Well, you know, I was just wondering. It doesn't mean you have to repeat the same behavior. Doing something different and innovative is probably...
Of course.
Yes, probably a better move. Occupy Oakland has been brutally beaten down a number of times. They keep trying to occupy... the city square or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And it's been a real battle. That's probably the most violent occupation, right?
That has been the most violent.
Yes. And are they back out on the streets sleeping in that park? Do you know?
I don't know if they're on the streets right now. I've been really busy kind of trying to organize here.
Okay.
And get people, connect certain people that are involved in various projects. There's a bunch of media projects kind of popping up that are going to be cool. There should be some websites popping up in the spring that will be platforms for people to organize and get content and post content. And
so now in the winter, let's just talk about what's going on now. The GA is still going on every day as it did. It has not stopped, or has it
The GA
changed?
Does not go on every day. It goes on like 4 days a week, and then we have spokes council.
Which
spokes council is where we all get together as working groups and then talk about things and make decisions.
So the GA is not making every minutia decision?
They make the majority of the decisions.
Yes, okay.
That's really been the place. There's been a lot of kind of discussion over what place the spokes council has.
I see.
Not everybody's, you know, in complete agreement that it has as much authority over things as one would wish, or, you know, it's like basically the spokes council is there to try and do kind of like functional kind of operational things.
Yes.
And the GA is a more all-encompassing umbrella.
Okay. Now, what about the money?
I was going to say, do you still receive donations?
No, you do, I'm sure, but
yes, we do.
That's great.
Gone down substantially, I'm sure.
It has, and I think a big reason that a lot of the money kind of went down was that a lot of people, too, you know, especially after the evictions and everything, became much more aware of their local occupation.
Oh. Mm.
So we were not the central place.
Oh, so the other occupations are collecting their own funds a little bit more than they were.
Yes. Chicago, for example, has a rather big occupation.
Well, that's a better deal. This way New York's not responsible for all the money for all the occupations. Because early on, it was almost like that. They were the central bank, so to speak.
Very much so. Yes. And there was a lot of debate about how that should be and how that should play out. I mean, from my own opinion, and this is just my opinion, our working group really stayed out of making any decisions about
how to spend the money
yeah. because we felt that it was a conflict of interest.
Yes.
So, I mean, I had my own opinions about it, but from the very beginning, I wanted to see it become very decentralized.
Yes.
And I wanted to see the other occupations gain an ability to raise their own funds mm-hmm. and get their own resources and help them out. And I even spent a lot of time talking to some of the other occupations with their finance committees on like how to set things up and how to kind of navigate some of these waters and, you know, how to get a WePay account and just some of the things that, you know, people hadn't been familiar doing, but are very important for these kind of things. I am very much in favor of further decentralization than things have actually, you know, kind of gotten to. But the problem is that we have to have consensus or modified consensus, which is 9/10 majority.
Yes.
So doing making some and also in the position that I can't really make a decision for them.
Yes.
Because it's the GA that makes the decision. You know, things haven't, in my opinion, gone the way that they could have maybe optimally could have gone. But
how many people show up at a GA meeting over the winter these days? Is it 40 people? Is it 400 people? Is it?
I would say realistically anywhere from 30 to 100.
I see. So it still has a good core group still working it in the various. And so Occupy Wall Street is not dead. People think that it's dead. People want to believe that it's dead.
It is not dead at all.
And the one thing that is a constant since Occupy came out, I want to tell you, is the movement got people to actually really believe that there is a problem. Even the one percenters know there is income inequality these days.
It brought
it up to the consciousness of everybody in America. And, you know, I really look forward to how this movement's going to go in the spring and the summer of 2012. No one could predict, because no one could predict how it happened, and no one could predict what's going to happen. But it's great to know that it's out there and it's accomplished a lot of good things so far.
And we're just trying to keep moving forward. Good. I think Obama's State of the Union really kind of showed how much the conversation changed.
Yes, 99%, and we are the 99%, and the 1% is now part of the vernacular these days, right? Mm-hmm. So you've done a great job, and keep up the great work. And we're going to have you back in another few months to tell us what Occupy Wall Street's going to be doing again. Thanks for coming today, Pete.
Thanks for having me.
We'll talk to you guys next week. Okay, bye bye.
Ciao.